Standby.
Standby one.
Let's go.
You're about to experience the evolution of action motorsports coverage. The motorsports you care about. Cutting edge, high impact, no filler. This is the Down and Dirty Show, fueled by Speed Energy Drink. And here is the man bringing it all to you, Jimmy Beaver.
Welcome to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, fueled by Speed Energy Drink. I'm your host, Jim Beaver, and when I say that we have a loaded show for you today, I mean it. Hanging on the queue, we're going to get to him in just a minute, none other than Dave Mira, one of the winningest bicycle riders in history, probably the winningest, one of the winningest X Games athletes in history. I mean, he was on the forefront with Tony Hawk and Matt Hoffman and really the explosion of action sports. Then he turned his focus to rally car racing, did a little bit of Rally America racing, then Global Rallycross Championship recently. So we're going to be talking a whole lot about GRC, his BMX career, and his new career in amateur boxing and Ironman triathlons. Then after that, we're going to have Jeanette Ewan and Jeff Hancock. Why we have a few designers on air, you're going to find out in just a short minute. But we're gonna have them on air talking about their new Parker Barrel Racing team and talking about their venture into rally car racing and racing superbikes. And then to cap things off at 10:30, we're going to have Damon Flippo of Rigid Industries talking about their revolutionary products. And he was at the Monster Energy Cup this past weekend, so I'm sure we're going to get the scoop on what went down in Las Vegas. But before we get to all that, let's jump right over and see if we can pick up Dave. All right, we're here with Dave Mira. How's everything been going, Dave?
Oh, it's been going real good. Just coming off Charlotte and then ended up in Augusta for a 70.3 Ironman, back home and getting ready actually to fly to Hawaii tomorrow to the Ironman World Championships. We're going to go spectate at in Hawaii, so we're excited.
Well, that's got to be exciting for you. Any chance we're going to see in the next couple of years, maybe you step it up and go to the full Ironman? I mean, I can't even myself fathom doing even a half Ironman, more or less the full deal.
Well, you know what? My plan is 2015 that I would step up to the full Ironman. Right now I'm having a really good time with the halves. And, the halves are cool because they're competitive, they're fast, but it's also long enough to fall apart. So it's kind of a pretty cool race in that way, I guess. It's, the full Ironmans clearly are just, can you keep going for, 9-10 hours. In the 70.3, it's interesting because you do have to go fast, but you do have to pace yourself. There is strategy involved, and it's tricky, but I love it. I love it for the, unlike rallycross, there's no luck involved in Ironman events. It's really about how you train is what you get on race day.
Yeah, for sure. And, talking about fitness, I mean, you were really one of the first guys, the pioneers in BMX to really bring physical fitness, into that. And I mean, it's been something it's definitely been a part of your life over the past, the past 20 years.
It really has. I just, going through the years and looking at what I do now and what I did when I was cross training in BMX, I just didn't realize, what potential your body and even your mind has with these intervals and different workouts that I do consistently, every single day. And, my crossover was lifting weights and trying to be in shape and physically fit. But what little did I know is that, a lot of that stuff didn't really do a lot for me other than mentally feeling good about, off the bike, I was always doing something. But I'll tell you what, this training for Ironman stuff that I've done, pretty much started exactly a year ago. And, it's amazing. I never swam. I took swim lessons last September, and that's, it's something that I do, 3 to 4 times a week, sometimes more, sometimes less, depending on the weeks of travel and everything like that to find a pool. But I'll tell you what, it's a tough workout, but man, does it feel good. It's fighting against water and learning new skills, and you're working on endurance in the water, which is, there's a lot of negatives when you haven't done it your whole life. So it's a tough one. No matter how good a shape I was on land to get in the pool, it's just a whole different game. And I got to say, I love it. And, you know, running and the cycling, but not just going out and riding and just doing, you know, Sunday rides. It's just a ton of intervals of tempo and threshold. You have sprints at a track when you're running. You have long runs. You have, you know, easy runs. You have runs with intervals of, you know, 4 by 1.5 mile, you know, 6:40 pace runs is tough, especially when it's hot out. So all these things could have helped me so much in BMX, and I think about it and go, wow, that's, you know, not saying a little work, timing, and all you have to do to stay focused. It'd be pretty tough to ride BMX full-time and still do this, but it's great to see it.
Well, and not only Ironman, but, I mean, you know, another just physical, grueling sport. I mean, you've kind of taken up, you know, full amateur boxing. I mean, you know, and I know you're coming off, a couple weeks, a month ago, a big win, right?
Yeah, I did. It was really cool. You know, the boxing is something I've always loved. You know, I always say, man, when I was a little kid, if there was a boxing gym instead of a skate park, I wonder what I would have done, because I just love those sports where you got to put it on the line. And, you know, whether it's Ironman or, you know, they're very, very similar sports in, I guess, different ways, but very similar, and it's a battle within yourself. You know, BMX, you were competing against other guys, clearly, and you wanted to win, but you were really competing against yourself, and also the injury and fear and so many things at stake, you know, when you're riding other than the other guys you're competing against. Same with boxing. I mean, boxing really is, I love it because it's such a technique-based sport. It's not a tough guy sport. And, yeah, clearly you're fighting another guy and there's no other way out, but you still have to stick to your game and believe in yourself and know that, you know, it's all on the line. I mean, an Ironman event is very, very similar. You know, I mean, leaving Charlotte from the Rallycross, which I got to say was my best probably ever, you know, Rallycross event for how I felt, the car I was driving, maybe not the end result, but up until the racing got going and got pretty rough, my times, and that was huge. So to leave Charlotte on a high note and then to come home and be back in the car 3 days later driving to Augusta, Georgia for a half Ironman event, and I was like, man, you know, I mean, I was so jazzed and pumped up from the Charlotte event in a car that's much different type of your brain or body that's working when you're there, to shift gears. And I swear I didn't really get into the mindset till I was on the dock ready to jump in and go, okay, well, there's no backing out, here I go, you know, I'll be racing and, you know, and putting it all on the line again. You don't want to fail yourself, and you know that all those hard training sessions you've done, you don't want to leave it out there, especially on race day. You know, that's what you worked for. And the workouts that were so tough to get you out there to do them, but then it's tough to get through them and then to go to the race. You know, I think that's why I love, you know, between BMX, boxing, rallycross, and Ironman stuff, I think it's always just a challenge within yourself. Can you really do it? Can you make it through it? And it's just been cool, you know, I guess going back to the boxing, I started with Deegan at the Ellis Mania fight in 2011. And, you know, I went out to stay with some friends and for 6 weeks and said, I'm not doing anything but boxing. And I never boxed before that, really. I went to a gym a couple times, very, very little. But I said, man, if I'm going to be fighting Deegan, I'm going to put everything on the line. I'm going to go and study the game and take notes and just, you know, do nothing but study the game. And you know, I left my family. I saw my wife and kids 5 days out of the 6 weeks. And just studied. And me and Deegan went in there and had an amazing fight. It was a back-and-forth fight. We both left there saying that was the coolest thing we've ever done. Me and Deegan were like little kids after talking about how he hit me and how I hit him and how we just went back and forth. He was a great sport. They gave him the decision, but I think that in both of our minds, I don't think the win or lose, loss even really mattered. It was like, we've never done this. This was awesome. We were like little kids, and then that kind of sparked from there.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, in talking about Rallycross, I mean, we're going to hit, you know, on a few things, especially, you know, the Mini you just drove at Charlotte. But, you know, here you were at, you know, we're going back a few years now. I mean, you were literally at the top of your game. You know, you were at the pinnacle of BMX. And, you know, and then you went went and did stage rally, and a few people I think were like, what's Dave doing, you know, and here you are, you know, in rallycross now. But you know what, you know, when you're at the top of your game in BMX, what made you decide to go down that rally path?
You know, it was a huge opportunity to top in a car. I've been injured so many times in BMX, and I got to say, I got to a point where I didn't care if I lost or won in BMX. So when that feeling kind of came over me, I was like, well, is the risk worth the reward when I don't really care if I... No, I'm not saying I don't care. I'm just saying the feeling wasn't any different if it was a loss or a win. I didn't go home going, man, it didn't have the same feeling anymore. So, you know, I think when I put that, when that kind of, you know, my mind was made up, is it worth some of the biggest injuries? I think 2010 was my last. I had a great 2009 season with Dew Tour. And then 2010, I went for Salt Lake City, a great event. Felt awesome leading up to it, riding with Daniel Dares and in my warehouse. And I got hurt pretty bad in that event. Just got tired, crashed, and dislocated my right thumb, broke my left pinky knuckle, and separated my breastbone. And I was injured for... That was probably one of the longest injuries that I've had, where it just seemed like it was never going to heal. And I think that was it. That was when I said, you know what, I think I've done enough, and I'm going to, you know, focus on some other things. And rally car was an opportunity to get in a seat, and Subaru supporting me. So what better than that, to hop into a race car and go out and compete and not worry so much about, clearly it's a dangerous sport, but not so, fingers and toes dangerous. More about, you know, big crashes or just, you know, rolls in a car. So it was just, and clearly seeing what Travis did with rally and how much fun he was having, I think it was just a really cool opportunity, and I had to explore it. It was more interesting to me at that point.
Well, and, you know, and compare a little bit. I mean, any chance, you know, or any itch to ever go back and try possibly stage rally again?
You know, here I love stage rally. I would love to do it. I think over the time that I did it, I realized that you need to have a true development path to become a great stage rally driver. Very, very difficult. Not so much the driving, because, you know, the driving's the driving, you know, but the notes and co-driver and the mesh you have with your co-driver, you know, you guys really, really understanding each other and reading notes and knowing how to just never second-guess yourself. Reading roads and trusting your notes, it's nuts. I mean, there's so much to it that goes way beyond driving. So I don't see it happening unless I had an opportunity to get out there and really put forth the time and effort to become a better driver, not just go ripping through the woods. But I will say it's probably the best form of driving that I've ever done. The most interesting, and when you get out there, it truly is an amazing sport. But if I can't do it properly, I don't see the point of the money it costs to run a car and the damage that you potentially have every race that can total a car, you know?
Yeah. So let's go to Charlotte now. And, you know, obviously, you know, going up until Atlanta, you had your best run of the year, you know, I would say at Atlanta this year. And then, you know, and then you hop in, you know, to the mini at Charlotte. And I got to tell you, you know, me being there and getting to interview you there, and everybody in the paddock was so stoked for you because you had this grin. I mean, it was like a mile-wide grin, and you were so fast. I mean, you know, take us through Charlotte and how, you know, that whole deal with ProDrive came about and, you know, and possibly heading into SEMA in the future, what that might hold.
Well, you know, that came about basically with the Subaru deal. I mean, I pretty much came to terms and decided that I wouldn't re-sign for 2014, and that was just the truth. I said, you know, I don't feel like I've done anything different. I haven't been able to give back to Subaru or you know, the big sponsor that came in the beginning of last year with Puma. I feel like I couldn't really give anything back. So I felt like if I didn't make changes, I was just going to be unhappy driving through all the development. And I've been with a Subaru for 6 years, and they've done a ton for me, supported me. I think there just came a time when I said, you know what, if I understand there's a big learning curve for the team, development to keep up with the Fords and the Mini and the other cars. And, I just said, you know what, maybe it's better. I'm not happy. I don't want to be a bad apple on the team. And I was there for a long time. We all said that, you know, based on the season with all the situations we were in, the two highest point drivers will do the following two based on budgets with, you know, going to Europe and hit next games and, you know, hit a couple of races really over there that weren't planned. So, you know, although Lance, the team owner, he's amazing. He said, Dave, we want to run all three cars. I think there came a time when it wasn't possible. And I was the one that was a little bit lower on the points, which was fine. I didn't feel like, based on my fourth place, I just didn't really have a shot to give much the whole season with just different situation, you know, whether it's a race incident or car trouble. And it was just a great opportunity for me to try something new. I just felt like it couldn't have been a better time and a better car with that Mini RX. You know, Liam's team that to, you know, support me with that and me help out Puma come in and really say, Dave, yeah, we want to see. Basically, it was a great opportunity for me to show that I really can drive a car and be, you know, somewhat competitive on times. I think that, you know, we all know in rallycross incidents happen, things. You just, you know, the jumpstart call was probably the first glitch in the weekend for me where I knew I didn't jump the start. I saw the light. I timed it. I went. I was checking out in that heat when that got called, and they said, you got to go to the, you know, the penalty box. I knew the race was over. And going to LCQ, I knew there was a big chance that, or a great chance that you weren't coming out of it, especially when there's four laps, a lot of top guys, and if you're in the top couple fast cars, you may not be making it out. And I was pretty disappointed in the way that, you know, Tanner did drive. I thought that it was pretty careless. If there wasn't indeed a stuck throttle, if it happened in the first corner, by the fourth corner, when that incident happened, and not to make it any worse, I mean, he kept driving until the finish line corner and two other guys crashed with him. I mean, I just thought that was pretty bummed out in a situation like that. But, you know, it's rallycross, and those are things that happen. But I just think there's a lot of drivers. It's just, I mean, the best race I saw all weekend was Sverre and Deegan battling out in the heat race because they were actually racing. They weren't bumping and grinding, and who survives or who does get knocked off the track wins. It's just not racing, and it's been a little bit of a bummer to watch that, you know, to see all the different incidents that take guys out that are in the race at one second they're in the race, next second they're out of the race. And it's not a driving thing either. It's that was a little bit disappointing, but you know, most importantly, I did exactly what I wanted to do in Charlotte. I got in the Mini. I got used to it. My goal was to put in great practice times, qualify, you know, as high as possible, and coming in second, you know, behind Ken was huge to me, you know, because those Fords and Tanner and Deegan are all great drivers, and they've been in the cars for, you know, several years. For me to hop in the Mini and adapt that quick, I was just, that right there almost was my goal. And then to get in the race and see what happens. Clearly, I wanted to be in the A main. I wanted to put up a good fight. I didn't expect to win. I didn't expect I was going to go out there and do, you know, run away from everybody, but I definitely wanted a shot. It was all looking very, very clean, and it was looking good for a good chance that who knows what could happen with the times that I was putting out on the track.
Well, do you feel like do you feel like now with the Mini and you know the you know and the way you know you ran it at Charlotte, you feel like it's kind of re-energized you for rallycross to an extent?
It really has. I mean, it really has, and it made me feel a lot better, kind of reconfirming that, you know, that I can drive and that I'm not just a crossover driver with an opportunity or a crossover athlete with an opportunity, that I'm only in it because I'm a BMXer. It felt good to be able to give, you know, I guess show people that I can drive a car, and the Mini was just a perfect match. It just, everything clicked, and it was just a huge opportunity, and it did give me a big recharge on rallycross and to try to make the, you know, the Mini work, or if something else comes along, know exactly what to expect now in a car, you know. So that was it was just huge for me. It really was. And that's why when you saw smiling all the time, I've never felt that way at a race, and it was awesome.
Well, and, you know, and you had a lot of family and friends there, and then, you know, there really is that, you know, and a lot of people saw it, but I don't know if they know the full story, but it really is heartwarming. Explain a little bit the Papa Coin, you know, the hashtag and, you know, the branding that was on the car.
Well, Lorna's grandfather became sick only a couple months ago with cancer, and it happened really, really quick. So kind of started for Papa Coin when I did the amateur boxing event up in Syracuse. That was kind of the start of it, and I wanted, you know, Lauren's family's right from Greensboro in Charlotte and bring it down there and make it a part of my opportunity in a new car, and a whole new chapter in Rallycross for me. So he's a great guy and amazing, you know, and it was just sad to see something so aggressive and fast happen to him when one day he was here and 2 months later, it was that quick, and it was a sad thing. And if there's anything I could do for him, for all the inspiration he's given me and the words of wisdom, that was just what I wanted to do. And through boxing and through anything way I could give back.
Yeah. Well, you know, obviously SEMA, you know, the SEMA round of GRC is on the horizon. We're, you know, a couple of weeks away. You know, obviously we're going to see you there in a mini, and what's next for Dave Mirra in Rallycross?
Well, we're working on the mini right now. Hopefully it does work out. I would, I'd be bummed to not make it, but yeah, if I can be in Vegas, I'll be in a mini, and, I would love to give it another shot with the mini on a different track and go and just see if it was luck or I really am quick in that thing. But I feel like, if it was anything like the track last year in SEMA, that car would be, I believe, even faster for a track a little bit tighter. The car is amazing, so that would be an amazing car to have in Vegas, the SEMA race.
All right, and we got a couple of fan questions to hit you with before we let you go. Obviously, you know, I know you've been a car guy for a long time. I remember way back when, and I don't know if it was a BMX Plus or Ride or something. I mean, you had, you know, a Saline Mustang. So obviously you're a car guy. What's your favorite car you've ever owned, driven, or wanted to have?
You know, my favorite car ever, you know, I got to say, favorite car that I've ever raced in has got to be the Mini. The Mini RX was, if there was any other car that I've wanted in the past, that car really opened my eyes to the point where I'm like, wow, daily driver, I can see that. You know, I was never a huge Mini fan until I got in that and realized this thing is so much fun to drive. But aside from Rallycross as a car, I have a Ford Raptor I love. Great vehicle. It's tough looking, and it does everything you need to do around the house. I've always loved Saline Mustangs back in the day. They were just, that was my favorite car. I think that the big change of Mustang to Subaru STI with all-wheel drive was, I never realized how amazing an all-wheel drive car was once I got in the Subaru, you know, up in the winter in Syracuse, and said, wow, you know, this is unbelievable what you can do with an all-wheel drive car. And then that moved me into rally, and you know, I would say right now, you know, through the Subaru STI, daily driver, Ford Raptor, and the Mini RX, I guess a pretty biased opinion on the cars that I've driven in the last few years.
For sure. So now we're going to switch over. Got a couple of BMX questions to leave you with. All right. You know, you've accomplished, you know, a ton in your BMX career. What's your best BMX moment ever? I mean, you know, was it one of the X Games golds? Was it landing, you know, first to land a double backflip? I mean, you know, there's so much to choose from. Any moment that just sticks out to you?
You know, it's tough. It's there is so many, and I tend to just try to lean towards just my entire career and how I started and you know, coming up out of upstate New York and, you know, to get recognized and to get sponsored and turn pro and, you know, be the first one to beat Hoffman in 3.5 years. He didn't lose a contest for that long. And to be that guy that came in and broke that streak and rode for Hoffman bikes and the guys I looked up to were the guys that I was competing with and friends with and toured with. And it's just pretty amazing when I reflect on all the years and, you know, the 95 when X Games first came out, and we happened to be, you know, just kind of in the beginning of my career, really, and to go through it and see the changes in the sport and being a part of it and seeing what it went from skate parks to, you know, arenas and and stadiums and just unbelievable, really. So, yeah, it's tough to pick one particular contest these days, but it's just to look at it overall, I've had a blast. I really have, and learned a lot about myself and about a lot of other people through BMX and met a lot of cool people. And I guess I say when I have a deal with a guy upstairs for 80 years, my first 40 was pretty much BMX, you know, entirely. So it's pretty awesome.
And one other question, you know, obviously, you know, you've got Mirko and, you know, and so you're still, you know, abreast of what's happening in the BMX industry. What do you think about this, you know, this next gen of, you know, of riders coming up and guys like Daniel Dares and what they're pulling and where do you see the future 5-10 years out and what these guys are going to be doing trip-wise?
You know what, it's so hard to say, but yeah, to see the new generation of the guys and, you know, it's almost like I was just talking with somebody the other day about comparing, like, you know, when, you know, people are like, Dave, come back and do one more contest. I'm like, why? This just doesn't make sense, especially with how gnarly the guys are right now. It's almost like when Jordan came back to play basketball, he didn't look as good as everybody remembered him being. And I said, you know, that really could happen in BMX for me to come back. These kids are riding at such a high level for me to come back. In which was a high level when I was competing is not the same. These kids have raised the bar and it's so cool to sit back and I love the fact that I never have to compete against these guys and just look in their eyes and you know exactly what's going through their mind, what they're willing to put on the line to win a contest. I was there once in the last contest that I did enter. I just see it in their eyes. I loved riding practice with them, but when it came to the contest, I had no fun. I wasn't willing to give it all to win a contest, but I saw it in their eyes and I said, that's why I'm not riding contests anymore. And that's why these guys are winning. It's just, it's amazing to see the change and what those guys, what they do on a daily basis to prepare mentally and physically for an event. It's awesome. Who knows where it'll go, but I'm sure it's only going to go further and further.
Yeah. What do you think, and this is totally off the hip, what do you think about like a master's class for, say, Vert and you and DMC and Hoffman and, you know, and Rick Thorne and some of the other veterans from the Vert ramp, you know, having a contest or something?
Well, I could see that. Yeah, if we ever did, if it was a fun master's event, I could totally see doing that someday. But, you know, at that level, I think all of us could probably agree it'd be a lot of fun. But when you start riding against the guys, just do it, you know. They don't just do it for a living, really, these days. They do it because that's what they love, and that's what they do. Every single day, they eat, sleep, and breathe it. And, you know, those days are over for me, you know, obviously, with everything revolved around BMX. And those guys, you know, they deserve it, and that's what's so cool to see. So that's, you know, if we can go back to the Masters, I think that would be a lot more fun because we could all ride within our limits but have a great contest. I could totally see doing that one day.
Anybody you want to thank before we let you go, Dave?
You know, I just want to thank everybody at Vermont Sports Car, Subaru, for all the, you know, the good years in Rally. I want to thank everybody at Puma, Liam Doran and his team, Pro Drive, for the help with the Mini, and, you know, Wasserman, my family, friends. I mean, everybody really supported me and always stood behind me through all the ups and downs. Like, I must say it's amazing. And you guys, Global Rallycross in Charlotte, you know, just everybody there that really rooted for me. And I could feel it, and it was awesome. Really cool.
Yeah, it really was. Looking forward to the future and, you know, both Dave Mirra and Global Rallycross and Ironman. Looking forward to it, my friend, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you, Jim. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Dave. All right, that was Dave Mirra, the living legend. I'd like to, you know, like to call him, you know, just an amazing guy, and what he's been able to do in 40 years. Just, I mean, you know, it's crazy. Not only on a bike, but in a race car, and now Ironman, and boxing, and it's all over the place. And you know, very lucky to have him, you know, on air for an interview, and looking forward to seeing. See how he does out, you know, at FEMA in a few weeks and in the Mini. And God, he was so fast at Charlotte. It should be exciting to see what he can do with another shot in that car and a little more seat time. And speaking of Las Vegas, this past week, Global Rallycross tickets on sale for Las Vegas. It's a 2-day event, November 6th and 7th. All the racing happens on the 7th. with the main events and stuff like that. The 6th, you're going to be able to see some heat races, some qualifying in that. So it's these tickets are for a two-day pass, November 6th and 7th. Both regular and VIP seating are available. You know, it should be an awesome, you know, an awesome event. Last year, SEMA was probably one of the best rounds of Global Rallycross, you know, of all of 2012. I would think the same thing for 2013. I've seen the track layout. It's going to be an awesome event. If you're in Vegas for SEMA, if you're in the Southwest, you need to be there, especially if you're in, you know, you're in the, I like to call it the tri-state area, you know, Southern Nevada, California, Arizona. You need to be there. Go to globalrallycrosstickets.com. That's globalrallycrosstickets.com. You can get your tickets. And if you use the coupon code GRCVegas, you'll also get $10 off. So GRCVegas and go to globalrallycrosstickets.com. We're going to take a short break. And when we come back, we're going to have a pre-taped interview I did with Jeanette Ewan and Jeff Hancock. A great interview. Looking forward to letting you guys hear it. Had a great time with them the end of last week. So you're definitely going to want to hang around for that. And we'll have Damon Flippo with Rigid Industries on at 10:30 this morning here in about 30 minutes. So lots of fun stuff happening. We're still going to get to some Monster Energy Cup and Rally America coverage. All that and more on the Down and Dirty Radio Show, fueled by Speed Energy.
Attention, all sand addicts, duners, and dirtheads. Polaris is proud to announce the return of Camp Razor to Glamis Dunes. Halloween weekend, October 31st through November 2nd. That's right, the same massive Camp Razor compound that took over Glamis last New Year's is back. And this time, it's bigger and better. Camp Razor will be located right next to the Glamis Beach Store and is open to all. Come grab free food and tons of giveaways, and check out the latest gear from GoPro, Traxxas, Highlifter, Jagged X, Walker Evans, and Fox. See the custom-built XP1K vehicle. Meet RJ Anderson and get your very own XP1K poster. Check out the full-blown kid zone and sign up to demo the all-new 2014 Razor XP1000.
Calling all off-road enthusiasts, your Arizona Ford dealers are throwing a once-in-a-lifetime event. It's the F-150 Raptor Roundup. Come out to Wild Horse Pass Motorsports Park in Chandler on October 26th from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. for your chance to experience the hottest off-road truck in the industry, the F-150 SVT Raptor. Come get behind the wheel of a Raptor and see what has made Ford F-Series the best-selling trucks for 36 years straight. Plus, get tips from qualified off-road instructors, then tackle our off-road course yourself. In the dirt, in the mud, or in the air, it's all happening at Wild Horse Pass Motorsports Park. Borrow one of our Raptors or bring your own to take on our off-road course. It's free admission and open to the public, so make sure to bring a friend. Don't miss the Raptor Roundup Saturday, October 26th from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. To sign up, go to your local FordDealers.com and register for your preferred driving time. Brought to you by your Arizona Ford dealers.
Very few companies can call themselves an industry leader. Racetech Seats is one of the few. It doesn't matter if you race off-road, rally, touring cars, sprint cars, drag racing, or boats. Chances are, Racetech Seats have a seat that will keep you safe, secure, and comfortable, allowing you to concentrate on winning. Racetech Seats meet and exceed the FIA crash test standard, are Honda compatible, flame resistant, and offer full containment, meaning you can race knowing you are protected by the best. More information can be found at www.racetech-usa.com. That's www.racetech-usa.com. Racetech Seats. Our passion is keeping you safe.
Thank you. Welcome back to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, fueled by Speed Energy Drink. I'm your host, Jim Beaver. We just got done with Dave Mira on air to talk about a great interview. Those of you just tuning in, you're going to go back and hear that one in the archives. I've been able to interview a lot of people over the past 2 years, and heck, I just looked the other day. Somebody brought it to my attention. I'm fast approaching 100 episodes of the Down and Dirty Radio Show, and let me tell you, when I started this deal 2 years ago, I would have had no idea it would have steamrolled into to where it is today. Speaking of that, lots of stuff on the horizon for the Down and Dirty Radio Show. Obviously, you heard during the break, Camp Razor. I will be out at Camp Razor at Glamis November 1st. We're going to be going doing a radio show from Camp Razor. You're going to want to, you know, be on the lookout on my social media for more information on that. But I got to tell you, you don't want to hear it online. You know, if you're in the Southwest area, you definitely want to make your way out to Glamis, and they're going to let you drive one of these XP1, you know, Razor 1000s for nothing. You don't get to test drive one. It's worth making the drive out to Glamis just to test drive one of those. Let me tell you. Not only that, obviously GRC tickets available. GlobalRallyCrossTickets.com, the coupon code GRC Vegas. And then on top of that, we've got the Raptor Roundup from Phoenix, Arizona. So you can pull up your local FordDealers.com, get all the information on the Raptor Roundup. So lots of stuff happening. If you're in Arizona, Nevada, Southern California, Southwest U.S., tons of stuff happening right now. The rest of you around the rest of the country that are tuning in, I guess you're an easy plane flight away. The weather's great right now. But anyways, Jeanette Ewan, Jeff Hancock recorded this interview late last week and had a great time with them, as you're going to see here in just a second. So we're going to cut to that interview, and then don't forget, here in about 25 minutes, we're going to have Damon Flippo from Rigid Industries calling in, and we're also going to still get to Rally America coverage and Monster Energy Cup. Man, lots of stuff happening this weekend. I guess we could expand this to a 2 or 3 hour show today with all the stuff that we got to talk about. We got an hour left, and we're going to cram it all in. So hang tight. Here's Jeanette Ewan and Jeff Hancock. All right, we're here with Jeanette Ewan and Jeff Hancock. How's everything going?
Going good.
Going well. Can't complain.
Well, you know, I think I introduced the listeners to you two last week, and I think the big thing was is they're like, why, you know, this is a motorsport show. Why is he having, you know, people that are, you know, based in design, you know, and art, well, and I guess in Jeanette's side, fashion a little bit, you know, on the show. And I, you know, kind of introduced them to Parker Barrel Racing and, you know, and motorcycles and rally cars and tried to educate them. But, you know, tell us a little bit about, you know, your guys' background and how you got involved in racing.
I'll kick it off. I don't know. I started out mostly racing motorcycles, and that was around 1997 or so, and I ran a few years road racing motorcycles. And then in the meantime, when I was down from the summer season during the winter, I would do enduros on my dirt bike. And then I've always wanted to race cars, especially rally, and just trying to get nearer and nearer to it over the years. And now it looks like we're finally heading that way, and that's about the extent of my racing career.
For me, I had zero racing career. I work in design and fashion, mostly working on television design shows, and I met Jeff, and he's an amazing fabricator, artist, and designer, and I asked to start a business with him, and about a week into the business, he introduced the idea of getting into racing, both motorcycles, where I would learn to be his crew, really, and then rally cars. No, I thought it was really exciting. My dad's a very successful motorcycle racer in the UK. He's done Isle of Man, and he raced rally. So he really said, you know, this is a great business partner for you. Do the racing. He's like, it's all about the camaraderie. You'll never regret it. So the first thing Jeff did was sign us up for Dirtfish Rally School. We did a three-day program there, and I was absolutely hooked. And after my first weekend in Sonoma working as crew for him on the motorcycle race, I absolutely loved it. So it's been pretty exciting.
Well, it sounds like you guys have a lot of fun because I know following you both on Instagram and social media. I mean, at one point I think you'd missed a race and Jeff was at a race and what, did he shoot you a picture of him hooked up to an IV type of thing and, you know, kind of gets your blood boiling there for a second wondering what's going on, right?
Yeah, the first couple messages I got after that were kind of spooked, but once she realized where I was at, she understood it was no big deal. It wasn't like I was in the nurse's tent. I was actually, it's a new service they were offering at the track, so.
But yeah, he likes to tease me. I like to be at all of the races, and due to my travel schedule, sometimes I miss a few of the motorcycle races, which next season I'm not going to. And of course, I always say I'm his Polish mother because I worry nonstop about the races. And when he put up the IV picture, yeah, I wasn't happy.
Well, let's talk about Dirtfish for a second because they're good friends of ours. And you know, it's funny. I was telling, you know, I talk with them probably once a week, and you know, and they were saying you have to get these two on the radio. You're gonna have such a fun time. But you know, let's talk about your experience up there. I mean, you know, obviously Jeff's got a little bit of seat time in race cars and motorcycles. I mean, was this really, Jeanette, your first taste of of rally cars?
It not only was my first taste of rally cars, it was my first taste of driving a standard, I think you call it, stick transmission in the United States. Yeah, I had never, ever driven. I had actually, that's a lie, I had one lesson. Jeff took me out in his vintage truck to Dodger Stadium, which was short-lived because security got us, where I learned to drive stick a little bit. But I had never even driven stick before. So it was a little nerve-wracking when I walked in, and pretty much everyone in there, a lot of the guys drove rally cross, some drove rally, some were with a NASCAR guy. There were six guys in me, and I didn't know what I was doing. But the guys at Dirtfish were awesome with me.
Well, and Jeff, I mean, you know, obviously you've got a ton of time on a motorcycle. How was that, how have you been able to take some of your skills at that and transfer them over to a rally car? Or is there any crossover at all?
You know, picking lines, I think, is about the only thing. I thought there would be a little bit more. I think Jeanette actually had a little bit easier of a time on the first day or so because she was just a fresh sponge. You know, there was nothing in there regarding racing, whereas I had, you know, years and years and years of pretending I was rally racing on back roads in some Corolla wagon or something, you know, but just beating on cars and thinking I was going fast and rallying, and I really wasn't even near the right technique. So I had that going, and then I had years of motorcycle racing, which is mostly you steer with the rear a lot, you know, using the throttle, and that really doesn't do much for you on the rally stage. So unlearning that tendency to accelerate out of corners, sliding sideways, it looks cool, it's fun, the crowd, the, you know, spectator corners, stuff like that, it's great, but that's really not the way to go fast. So, yeah, it was a little hard to put away some of my acquired skills and learn the new stuff. But those guys at Dirtfish are so, so good and so fun, and just the whole facility is amazing. So it was, you know, 3 days' time, I felt like I got it, no big deal.
And we're going back. We're very excited. We're going back in December for our Christmas training.
Oh, nice. It'll be good, you know, good and snowy back there then, so it ought to really, you know, be a change of pace from, you guys were there in, like, May, June type of thing?
Yep, right around then. So we're definitely looking forward to killing some more cones, so. They made fun of me. I think I've taken out more cones than anyone who's been on the facility.
Well, as far as as far as the rally program goes, what's the future hold? I know, you know, you guys have made mention, you know, trying to possibly run, you know, some series in 2014. I know you'd mentioned before we went to air, news for 2015.
Yeah, I think we would like to get something going for 2014 for sure. We've got so much going on right now that getting in at the beginning of the season probably isn't going to happen. What really clicked for us recently was deciding to go do the Eastern Africa Safari Rally. It's only, we just found out that they only run it every 2 years, and that's about to be run. So that's fine. It gives us 2 years to get everything together. I mean, we don't even have a car at this point. What I do have is I have a vintage BMW Shell, 1973-2002 Shell, which is perfect for that rally because up until this year you couldn't run anything before 74 anyway. So we're going to take this shell that I haven't I was getting ready to scrap anyway, and build it out into a car and start doing some rally crosses. Now, if we can get some rally cross experience and maybe some regional Rally America events in before we go out there, that would be great. Obviously, shake down the car and get some experience and seat time as driver and co-driver with Jeanette and I. But you never know. I mean, I don't. Jeanette and I talk about it here and there. You don't want to take on too much, but at the same time, you don't want to not take on an opportunity to drive something else. If I can get into a non-turbo two-wheel drive car that a sponsor or some that comes from somewhere, and I can get into a rally, we can get into a Rally America event in 2014, the end of 2014, beginning of 2015. That would be really cool, too. It's not just about this Safari Rally, but that is the focus for us to get the car together and whatnot. And then, obviously, running a vintage car like that in Rally America is not going to be that competitive. So it makes me want to pursue something else, but who knows exactly how that's going to go.
And I'm really excited. Just love Africa a ton, and especially where the rally runs, those particular countries. And the whole vintage appeal to me. I know I have a lot to learn, so I'll be helping Jeff as he builds it and learning there. And we're excited. We're hoping to work with an organization called Right to Play to raise some money for children in third world countries to provide them with activities and sports equipment and stuff, because we think, I mean, even in our business, from talking to us, you can tell that we think it's important to always have that play element to your life, because you only build experience from it. So I'm really excited for that. I'm hoping we can organize another car and maybe trying to write it into my next show or something so we can figure out the funding for it. But I'm really definitely, the Safari Rally is definitely doable for us. I'm really excited because it feels like an attainable goal and one that I'll learn a ton along the way. I'm really blessed to have Jeff as a business partner, because otherwise none of this would be even possible for me. He's laughing because he knows I would not know what to do.
Well,
Gator rally car driver or something.
Well, Jeff, I mean, you know, I know you're a fabricator. What kind of projects, you working on? What type of things do we see go through your, through your shop here and there, through the course of, say, a year?
Since I moved my shop down from Santa Barbara to L.A., it's been a lot. Most of it's focused on remodeling the place, just getting the shop set up and getting racks done. Just made a table for basically for us to do some molding and casting for some of our products. It's just a big, long table that rolls and whatnot. I've got two car projects in the shop right now that really need to get done as we kind of round out our remodel here and get things set up. And it's I've got a 53 Willys pickup truck that I'm putting onto a 90s Toyota pickup truck chassis so that I can have the best of the both worlds, have my favorite truck, which is the 53 Willys with the split window and the cool grill and whatnot, on something that's more modern and reliable and freeway ready and whatnot. And then I've also got a rat rod here that's been just kind of laid out and where the parts should be right now. It needs a frame to hold it all together, but as far as all the parts go, I've collected them all and it's ready to roll. Hopefully we'll turn this into not a 9-second or a 10-second car, but maybe an 11 or 12-second car, and Jeanette can get out on the drag strip, which is something that she's always wanted to do.
Yeah, and Jeff's always very modest. It's been a transition, and he's so nice to have moved to L.A. to open a shop here, but his shop in Goleta was just amazing, and it was on a compound with a bunch of old-timers, and you just would walk on, and they had everything from tanks there to pretty much every dream car I've ever imagined. And Jeff would do everything from car rebuilds to make some of the most beautiful art I've ever seen to fabricate and design the most unbelievable staircases, desks, furniture, everything. He's just, there's nothing he can't make. So, again, I'm very lucky to be partnered with him.
Thanks, Jeff.
Yeah, I'm getting bonus points today, right?
Well, Jeanette, I mean, you're involved in so much. I mean, obviously, the TV design, you're back and forth between L.A. and Canada quite a bit. I mean, take us through a typical week or two-week period, of your life with the, you know, mixing the racing with TV and design and everything else that you do?
Yeah, it's a lot of nonstop. So basically right now I'm focused really on Parker Barrow. So a typical day here is that we'll probably get up, you know, watch some rally video, chat a little bit about that, and then, you know, work on some designs for wallpaper or spaces, do a little bit of the business end. And then in Canada, I work on television, so on a number of TV shows. And up there, I focus a lot on teaching people at home how to design, how to set a table, how to, you know, style fashion. And then I often do photo shoots both in Canada or New York. I'm in Vancouver a lot, styling fashion shoots. And then down here, I'll also be starting a new project with Ty Pennington, who, of course, was the head designer and host of Extreme Home Makeover. So we did one show together before, and we're going to be taping a new show, and Jeff will have a fabulous guest spot on that. So that will be filming down here, which I'm really excited to do a show, a complete proper seasonal show. I've just been working on other people's shows for about almost a year and a half, so I'm really ready to do something new. It's amazing how much I said to Jeff, doing a TV show reminds me of racing. It's very much that camaraderie, you know, you're staying in your trailer, you've got limited budgets, limited time, and everyone kind of sticks together to make a project. And this is design television specifically, when you're making over spaces and houses, not big budget TV. And I think that's one thing I really like about racing. I don't have a huge family, so whenever I do a show or go to the track with Jeff, I was amazed how much people feel like family. So it's kind of exciting. But, yeah, it's definitely a little all over the place. So it really is great to have a business partner that's grounded and keeps me focused. He's smiling right now.
Well, and I know, you know, speaking of that camaraderie and friendship, I mean, I go to a ton of racing events, and I know we've got a mutual friend, Brian Johnson, who's invited you guys out to a rally race later this year, and it just seems like, you know, it's such a tight-knit, you know, almost like a family, you know, when you get involved in these race circles, and, you know, it's it really is, you know, uncomparable to a lot of other, you know, forms of, well, just sports in general, I think.
I love the rally community. I can't believe how much, even just through social media, you've been amazing. Brian contacted me, and he's going to be at the Tall Pines Rally in Bancroft, which is about 2 hours from my Toronto home. And he said, you know, come on up and check it out. And then he contacted me and said, you know, do you have accommodation? It's not easy to find places to stay. The next thing you know, we are staying with Brian and his team, and I just think that is, I've never been so delighted in my life. I thought that was just incredibly sweet. I've had a lot of the women in the sport, I'm huge fans of them, reach out to me and be really supportive of other things I'm doing. And, you know, when I talk about rally, there's not this kind of, oh, who's this girl thinking she can, you know, learn this or come in. It's just so supportive. And Jeff told me about that. Even our first weekend at Sonoma, when he was back to motorcycle racing, we made so many friends. You know, we're invited to a barbecue. I love it. I wish I could just do racing stuff 24/7.
Yeah, me too.
So
you design, kidding.
I was going to say, you know, bridging the gap. So say, I've got, you know, this office space here in my, you know, next to my race shop. What do you guys have up your sleeve for somebody like me that that needs a complete renovation of his race shop and office?
We'll come and do it for you. That's what we have up our sleeve. We'll throw you out for 2 days and give you a makeover. We should definitely come visit you and work something out.
We've got a little makeover to do in November for a friend / business associate, and hopefully she'll be excited with what we give her. We'll see.
But then we should talk about you in the new year. That would be fun.
Yeah, something. I'm sure we could figure something out. It's, you know, you kind of, you know, I guess what Ken Block has set the bar with his race shop offices. So I don't know if. You know, it's a pretty tough bar to be.
Oh, I think that's a challenge. We're going to take Ken Block's office on. Yes, we have to be better. We love Ken Block, but you know.
Yeah, I love Ken and his graphics and whatnot. But I saw some pictures and footage of that place, and it's like everything's the wrap on his car. Even his ping pong table is 15 different colors. It seemed a little hard on the eyes. Maybe we'll give you a little bit more of a classic man cave or something like that.
Ooh, I see leather walls, don't you, Jeff?
Leather. Some wood, some old signs, you know.
Oh, yeah, we could do this. We definitely need to chat about this. We're going to start sketching already.
Nice. All right, so you know, before we let you guys go, you know, anybody, what you want to thank, anything you want to plug, you know, what can you know, where can people find more information out on Jeanette Ewan and Jeff Hancock?
Just to throw our company name out there again, Parker Barrow. Hopefully, you'll be seeing a bunch of stuff, cool stuff, come out of us for products and as well as racing, and then really those guys at Dirtfish, because you know. The experience was so cool going there, and they're such good teachers, and they know what they're doing. The facilities, the cars, everything was just – I couldn't say enough about my trip there. It was really great. I can't wait to go back. And really, that's the first step in what we're doing. You know, you got to get out there. You got to get some seat time. You got to get going sideways and learn some left-foot braking and whatnot. And to have such a cool crew to induct us into this and – help us get going was just awesome.
Yeah, I'd like to thank you, because just this opportunity, done a lot of interviews in my time, and I can't tell you, I've never been so excited for an interview. I think it's amazing that you are supportive of all levels of people involved in motorsports. I just think that's awesome. I want to thank Jeff, because this wouldn't be a possibility without him. And then, you know, Brian Johnson is awesome, Anton Lesage, all the my friends on Instagram who are in Rally are just really cool people. And then, you know, Dirtfish, yeah, those guys there are awesome. I mean, Nate's great, Winston, Ricky Bobby, I love them, and I can't wait to go back. And Tiana, who runs everything there, she's awesome.
Yeah, I got to give a shout-out to Tiana.
Yeah, just really, really love all of them there. And just the rally community in general, just really awesome and inspiring.
Awesome. Well, you know, good luck with the rest of this season and, you know, the upcoming years. And, yeah, we'll definitely chat soon.
Okay, let's chat your office. The wheels are turning. I see a giant stuffed coat in the corner.
Thanks for having us on, Jeff.
All right, I'll take it easy. All right, that was Jeanette Ewan and Jeff Hancock. Just, you've got so much going on. It was just a fun interview. And, yeah, really, you know, diving headfirst into the world of rally and, you know, involved in some super bike racing right now. And just some fun people to have on air. Definitely check them out on Twitter and Instagram. We're going to take a short break. And when we come back, we're going to have Damon Flippo from Rigid Industries calling and talking about just everything he's got going on, man. We're just slammed today. So stay tuned to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, fueled by Speed Energy.
Epic Entertainment continues with Cage Rage on the River 6, Saturday, October 26th at Blue Water Resort and Casino. MMA cage fighting at its best. It's intense. No mercy. In the cage. General admission seats are only $20, or go ringside for just $40. Cage Rage on the River 6. Doors open at 5:30. The Rage begins at 7. Saturday night, October 26th. And only at Blue Water Resort and Casino on the Colorado River in Parker, Arizona.
Calling all off-road enthusiasts. Your Arizona Ford dealers are throwing a once-in-a-lifetime event. It's the F-150 Raptor Roundup. Come out to Wild Horse Pass Motorsports Park in Chandler on October 26th from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. for your chance to experience the hottest off-road truck in the industry, the F-150 SVT Raptor. Come get behind the wheel of a Raptor and see what has made Ford F-Series the best-selling trucks for 36 years straight. Plus, get tips from qualified off-road instructors, then tackle our off-road course yourself. In the dirt, in the mud, or in the air, it's all happening at Wild Horse Pass Motorsports Park. Borrow one of our Raptors or bring your own to take on our off-road course. It's free admission and open to the public, so make sure to bring a friend. Don't miss the Raptor Roundup Saturday, October 26th from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. To sign up, go to your local FordDealers.com and register for your preferred driving time. Brought to you by your Arizona Ford dealers.
Welcome back to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, fueled by Speed Energy Drink. I'm your host, Jim Beaver. We just had Jeanette Ewan and Jeff Hancock on air. Before that, we had Dave Meir. We've got Damon Filippo from Rigid Industries. He's calling in anytime. He's going to be giving us a buzz, and we're going to talk probably a little bit of Monster Energy Cup. We're going to talk a lot about their light products. I tell you what, this is one guy, he travels coast to coast doing all kinds of things. Looks like we've got Damon calling in, so we'll see if we can pick him up. How's everything going, Damon?
All right, brother. Are you, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you perfect, loud and clear. So, yeah, you were out at Monster Energy Cup this weekend. I think you had a bit more fun than a lot.
Yeah, we had a good time out there. You know, we have some of our racers were up there. You know, B.J. Baldwin, obviously. Casey Curry, Von Gittin. We had a good time up at up there. Got to tear up some tires and flash lights in everybody's faces, so.
Yeah, it had to have been a good time for you guys. I mean, you know, out there out front, it looks like, you know, I remember seeing the videos from last year, and it looks like they were above last year this year with BJ and Casey and Vaughn. And, you know, you guys are involved with, you know, not just off-road racing, but, I mean, you guys helped Brian Deegan out with his rally car. Obviously, Von Gittin's got some Rigid lighting. You guys are kind of all over the place, huh?
Yeah, you know, we kind of got our start about 5 years ago in doing LED lighting before everybody thought it was a good idea. So, you know. I'm not sure how that works out, but I guess we did pretty good with it. We are doing now, I mean, you know, rally car, bike, the 24-hour race over in, Glen Helen this weekend, had a couple of the big bikes had our lights on them, you know, everything from trophy trucks. We're even doing commercial semis now.
Well, and I know it's not only that, you know, with the automotive side of things, you guys are pretty involved in agriculture and marine use as well, right?
Yeah, we've moved into heavily in agriculture. The marine stuff is huge. Like, you know, the Bassmaster Elite Tournament, we are a sponsor of that now. You know, doing all, we have quite a few of our big fish, the big fish guys, you know, Brandon Palmerick, et cetera. I mean, we're doing underwater stuff, working a lot on squid boats, doing a lot of the lighting for the squid boats for offshore stuff. And in the agriculture, I mean, it's allowing farmers and, you know, America's people to actually work into the evening a little bit better, see better, and actually get some product done.
Yeah, and, you know, let's talk about, you know, the whole LED versus HID thing, because it's been going on, like you said, for probably a little over 5 years now, and you guys are kind of on the forefront of LED technology, you know, one of the first companies to really put it out there and push it. You know, what have you seen, and what are the advantages to say, LED over HID?
Well, you know, it's kind of crazy. LED actually came out of surgery in that. I mean, there was a lot of, you know, arthroscopic surgery, et cetera. There's big books, big things written in Mayo, et cetera, about LED, the way LED light and anybody's LED light in general over HID or regular lighting, how your eyes see it, your brain reads it. So it actually it's a better way to see things, to be able to, your brain to pick up what's going on out there. And, you know, we kind of started it years ago. A couple friends, David Holder and Craig Reynolds, they kind of came on. Jason Christensen, the owner of Rigid Industries, one of the owners of Rigid Industries, I should say, he saw the path and decided, hey, let's run with this and let's continue forward. And we've, you know, he's allowed me to do my job and move forward with it along with the other owners. And just, it's a better way of seeing light. I mean, you know, HIDs are great, don't get me wrong, but LED lighting is such a better way, especially, you know, way you, I mean, all the OEM manufacturers are now putting LED headlights and stuff in their vehicles, so it's got to be something to it.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, with you guys, I mean, you've constantly, you know, progressed the bar. I mean, different filters, you can snap over them. And now let's talk about the big one, though, the new product you guys have. And I was able to see it firsthand recently, you know, your radius bar. And that really, to me, you know, raises the game a little bit, because not only, you know, you don't have to run multiple lights now and aim them off to the side. I mean, this new radius bar, it really, you know, spreads the light out across, you know, all angles.
Yeah, it does. And, you know, it's funny. 2 years ago, everybody thought we were just joking. I mean, you know, BJ Baldwin, the guys over there, I was up there at BJ's shop. We, you know, basically cut up an extrusion, radiused it, and started playing with optics and how, you know, how it looks and the degree of radius that you actually get out of it compared to, you know, just putting light straight ahead. And like you said, having to put them off to the side. So it was kind of funny that nobody paid any attention to us doing this. 2 years later, we actually are full-blown production with it. They're going to be hitting the market soon. People will be able to go to, you know, their local dealer, pick them up. But it's allowed it's definitely allowed the way you set up your vehicle, whether, you know, for aesthetics or actually working, it puts a bigger range out there. Light just goes – the light distance and the actual diameter, you know, the area you get to see is so much better.
Well, and what do you think, you know, the way this is, you know, progressed with LED lighting and, you know what I mean? And, you know, and I know the big thing, you know, originally when they came out, people were like, oh, you can't see as far as HIDs. I mean, obviously, you know, PJ won the Baja 1000 last year with strictly, you know, LED lighting. So I think that, you know, that point is null and void now. I mean, you know, where do you see the future, say, you know, 5-10 years out for lighting on, you know, on race cars, especially desert race cars?
You know, I actually see a lot of good things in all the LED. I think as we progress with the LED technology, you know, obviously Rigid Industries, we don't just sit back and see what the next big thing is. We're constantly trying to push that envelope and make our product better, stand out, get more distance, get better things. And honestly, I think you'll start seeing, I mean, you've already seen the progression of, you know, LED lighting is we're actually getting – more light with less power on your vehicle. And I see things, you know, lights will be coming a little bit smaller, so you won't have to have as, you know, as much light per se, you know, on your vehicle, and you'll actually get more light out into the dark and out in, you know, for all kinds of applications. And like I said, we're constantly pushing that market with, you know, speaking, I heard your commercial earlier about the Raptor run. I mean, we worked with Ford on the Ford Raptor to, you know, came up with all those ideas to how to put light bars and mount product to a Raptor without making it, you know, having to replace it. So I think the LED industry in a whole is really the future of lighting, and people really need to start paying a little bit more attention. We like it when they don't, because obviously we just keep doing what we do every day and trying to take over the market.
Well, you know, and talking about, you know, not only the automotive, but you guys have been, you know, hugely invested into to the UTV market. And I think, you know, with the way those things have taken off, I mean, you know, seems like every single one I see, you know, in a magazine or, you know, or a show UTV or even out of Glamis, I mean, they've got a rigid LED bar bolted onto them.
They do. You know, we've, like I said, we kind of started the whole LED a couple of years back. I had Brian Moore from Tent Media the other day. It was funny. I saw him at a Monster Cup, and he's like, you know, I remember a couple of years back, Damon, when you showed up, he goes, we all kind of thought LEDs were a joke, you know, and he goes, you showed up and said, hey, well, let's put this on the side, you know, the side-by-side and all this, and we started moving forward, and, he, you know, he said the same thing. You know, we're trying to push the envelope, make the, you know, for everything from bikes to agriculture. I mean, we're doing plane landing lights. I mean, we have a lot of business in the military and law enforcement world, too. I mean, it's not just about, you know, the off-road is where we love, but there's so many more applications for it, and guys just constantly come up with new uses and call us, and, you know, I mean, we helped a certain bike builder build some custom headlights for his bikes, you know.
Well, and here's the question, you know, and this one, you're the only one that could probably answer it. The wildest vehicle, doesn't matter if it's a motorcycle, car, race car. What's the craziest vehicle that that you know of that's ever had a rigid bar bolted to it?
Well, most people don't even know it, but we've been an active part in the movie scene for a few years now. One of the craziest vehicles that people are getting ready to start seeing, we just helped out with Transformers 4. And Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. So watch for those rigs, and you'll see some light on them.
Nice. That's very cool. Now I gotta ask you one other question. You know, and people that go to your site, and obviously they see BJ's truck, and they see the green filters on there, and you see Deegan's you know, Deegan's car, and he's got a lot of the red filters on there. You know what? You know, I know you guys have like the amber, the blue, the green, the red filters. Is it just for color? Is it actually you know, the different filters have different applications?
Well, obviously, different filters have different applications. We do a lot of law enforcement, so we get red and blues. We build our bars, so we can actually make a single bar that doesn't look like a law enforcement bar, you know, doesn't look so you can put it on a car and it'll actually strobe red and blues inside. The amber, we have what we call of our amber series, are they actually help cut through the dust, the fog, you know, this, it just works out so much better for your seeing things where LED lights sometimes so bright. I mean, you know, Jimmy, I mean, as many times as you've raced in the off-road, you start running along there and it gets really dusty. And it's almost like a white out in a snowstorm with white light. So you kick on those ambers, turn off your whites, and suddenly you got vision for days.
Yeah, exactly. And that's, you know, that's what people don't understand. Sometimes you can have too much light, you know, with desert racing at night. And like you said, it's like whiteout conditions. And, you know, you can have all the light in the world, but you're still not going anywhere very fast.
Well, that's exactly it. And that's one of the things, you know, a lot of people are still learning about LED even. I mean, you can have all the light in the world and say you're producing all this, but if you can't get that light out to where it's actually working for the driver, the pilot, whatever you want, that's where we specialize in, is making sure we can actually have the brightest, most efficient lights and produce the best, you know, best possible vision for people. I mean, there's a lot of color temperatures, et cetera, goes on in them.
Yeah, for sure. You know, lots of technology going into there. So what's up next for you guys? Obviously, Baja 1000, you guys are going to be out at SEMA, I believe, here in a couple of weeks too?
Yep, we're going to be out at SEMA. We have, I believe, last I heard, somewhere in the neighborhood of 220 vehicles running rigids out there. We are supporting Supercross, you know, the Team Toyota, bass fishing, you know, with the Bassmasters, agriculture, a lot of the mining expos, truck expos, et cetera. And then, of course, as soon as we leave SEMA, Jimmy, it's off to the Baja 1000 where, you know, some of the biggest – I mean, you know, that's one of the biggest races in the world. And we've got some big players coming down there racing. And then after that, it's off to, you know, the car rally.
Yeah, for sure. You guys have a stacked calendar to finish out the year. Where can people find more information out on Rigid Industries, Damon?
Just, you know, if you come to rigidindustries.com is our website. You can go on Facebook, Rigid Industries on Facebook. There is a, you know, just come check it out. But we've always got something, you know, with all the drivers we have and, you know, personalities. You know, Brian Deegan, obviously. Brian's a great guy. He's really pushing into the rallycross scene for us. Liam Dorm of Monster Energy. Just come on any of the websites and there's links. Check it out. We'll be happy to take care of everybody and answer anybody's questions.
All right. Well, thanks for taking the time to come on air today, Damon, and we'll see you out at SEMA here in a couple of weeks, buddy.
Jim, I appreciate it, brother. I appreciate you giving us the opportunity to be on your radio station. You know, your radio show is one of the greatest. I love it. Always interesting stuff, especially being on here. You know, Mirror's on here. That's kind of cool. But we'll see you out at SEMA, buddy, and then we'll see you at the 1000.
Yep, for sure. Talk to you later, buddy.
Bye.
All right. That was Damon Flippo with Rigid Industries, and you know, little known things, like you know, he was saying, you know, you don't know it, but there's so many vehicles with their stuff, and you know, they support not only Brian Deegan, I mean Vaughn Gittin Jr. You've got, you know, obviously BJ Baldwin, Casey Curry. I think you know, they're partnered up with Jesse James. They're doing some cool stuff with him. You know, agriculture, fishing. Like you said, I mean, squid boats, it's just crazy the amount of stuff they're involved in. So very cool opportunity to have him, you know, on air and talk a little bit. And I know he'll be out of Global Rallycross supporting Brian Deegan. And once again, you need to get your tickets for Global Rallycross Las Vegas, November 6th and 7th. GlobalRallycrossTickets.com. You need to go there. Book them today. It's going to be a packed show. And if you don't hear enough of me there, you get to hear GRC Live Radio and hear me doing some announcing. So, you know, come out and say hi, and yeah, for sure. Looking forward to seeing all of you out there, and we're going to take one last short break. When we come back, we're going to talk some Monster Energy Cup and Rally America. So stay tuned to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, fueled by Speed Energy Drink.
To have some screen printing, embroidery, or design work done? Intense Tees has you covered. Intense Tees provides the highest quality and detail for custom screen printing and embroidery services for corporations, schools, race teams, and all organizations alike. Complete line creation, including designing of an entire corporate identity. Product line creation, support promotions, product packaging, exciting banners, polos, tees, sweatshirts, caps, and vinyl decals. Intense Tees is the official apparel provider for the Down and Dirty Off-Road Show. Find out more on the web at www.intensetees.com. That's www.intensetees.com.
Are you ready for the revolution, the Ford revolution? Well, Parker Motor Company is bringing it to you. We're bringing you the 411-horsepower Ford Raptor, the new turbocharged 252-horsepower Ford Focus ST, and the twin-turbo 365-horsepower Ford Taurus Show. Now, that's not your grandma's Taurus. Join us at Parker Motor Company, where we like to talk cars, treat you right, and show you why we are a 9-time Ford President's Award winner. Parker Motor Company, your hometown Ford and Lincoln dealer.
Epic Entertainment continues with Cage Rage on the River 6, Saturday, October 26th at Bluewater Resort and Casino. MMA cage fighting at its best. It's intense. No mercy. In the cage. General admission seats are only $20 or go ringside for just $40. Cage Rage on the River 6. Doors open at 5:30. The Rage begins at 7. Saturday night, October 26th. And only at Bluewater Resort and Casino on the Colorado River in Parker, Arizona.
Welcome back to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, fueled by Speed Energy Drink. Just got done with Damon Flippo of Rigid Industries earlier in the show. We had Jeanette Ewan and Jeff Hancock of Parker Barrel Racing. And before that, we had the living legend, Dave Mira. Man, talk about a show. And we still got Monster Energy Cup and Rally America to get to. You heard during the break, Cage Rage 6 this weekend, Bluewater Casino. Get your tickets at bluewaterfun.com. Get all the information there on Cage Rage 6. And as we sit here, I've got some breaking news hitting my inbox in my email account. Number one, obviously we got the Lucas Oil race this weekend, the big cup race that they're crowning some champions and throwing out a whole bunch of money. Renizetter, he's painted his truck pink. Paint the track pink. Renizetter is going to have a pink truck there in support of breast cancer and obviously Breast Cancer Month. Going to be doing some pretty cool promotions to tie in with that. Very cool to see. Very cool for Renizetter to be stepping it up. And he will be on our show hopefully sometime in November. Talk with the people over there at the Renizetter camp. And, you know, as he winds the season down, I think he's going to take home a championship this year for sure. And we're going to have him on air sometime in November to talk all about it. Also, along the October National Breast Cancer Month, you guys, Speed Energy's got the Drink Pink thing going on. I codename Drink Pink, but yeah, every time you buy a can of the pink Speed Energy, which is unleaded, a portion of the proceeds to the national the Susan G. Komen Foundation. So yeah, the more you drink pink this month, the more money you're donating to breast cancer. So drink your Speed Energy unleaded this weekend. And Impact just announced a new head and neck restraint called the Impact Rev Frontal Head Restraint. Very cool. You know, new head and neck restraint, obviously aired squarely at the Hans device. Starts at $599. Very, you know, very affordable. Looks to me like it's very lightweight, you know, very unassuming. You know, it's a driver. You don't want something that's bulky and huge. I mean, this is very lightweight, very small, very uncomplicated. You definitely want to check out all the information on this at ImpactRaceProducts.com. Just announced last week, and they are shipping orders for the Baja 1000. So if you need one in time for the Baja 1000, ImpactRaceProducts.com, and you can find out all the information about it. And trust me, if you're in the market for a new head and neck restraint, I would say this should definitely be on your shopping list. So let's get to a little bit of Rally America coverage, a little bit of Rally America coverage. And, you know, I sat in a press conference last week with Ken Block and David Higgins and talking about, you know, this, you know, this event up there in Michigan, the Lake Superior Performance Rally. We're just going to call it Rally America Michigan because that's just a little too long for me to say, I guess. I don't know if it's just laziness or what, but I like to code name everything. And so we're just calling this Rally America Michigan. Anyways, Ken Block and David Higgins, basically a shootout for the Rally America title, depending on basically whoever won was going to get the title. It came down to that. And, you know, Higgins and Block both had a heck of a run going. Block was out to the early lead, had a decent lead on Higgins. Then they got into some of the night stages, and with the lighting and the fog, Higgins ended up taking the lead back from Block. So fast forward to Saturday, Block was in attack mode. I don't know what kind of shape the car's in, but both are A-OK. They're at home. Everything's fine. Despite some of the reports online, you know, they are absolutely fine. They'll be at the Global Rallycross race here in a couple of weeks. So glad to hear that both Ken and Alex are both fine and, you know, and well and at home. That left David Higgins basically just to finish up, to wrap up the Rally America title. So Rally America Michigan looks like the team of David Higgins and Craig Drew not only won the event, but also took home the 2013 Rally America National Championship open class title. So congratulations goes out to them. We had second Antoine Lea Stage finishing up in second place. Dylan Vanway in production, he took the win in production, and third place outright. And then we also had another battle going for Rally America Championship. We had Andrew Comrie-Picard, ACP, and Brendan Reeves and Rhiannon Gelsomino. And, yes, I did say Gelsomino. I used to say Rhiannon Smith recently. As you guys know, we've talked about it on here. Her and Alex tied the knot. So, once again, congratulations goes out to them. And congratulations goes out to them as well because Brendan and Rhiannon locked up the two-wheel drive title, and in the same as Block and Higgins, it was basically a winner-take-all situation for the two-wheel drive championship. Brendan Reeves ended up beating Andrew Comrie-Picard by 6 seconds. That was it. 6.3 seconds separated them for the championship. Talk about a battle. Just insanely close. But, yeah, so congratulations goes out to Brendan Reeves on his two-wheel drive national championship. Andrew Comrie-Picard finishing in second and fifth overall. Super production second went to Nick Roberts. The team of David Sturks and Karen Jankowski finished third in super production, seventh outright. George Plisak, let me see here. Sorry, I lost my spot. He finished third in third in class, eighth outright. We had the team of Chris Greenhouse and Billy Mann finishing in third in two-wheel drive. I'm sorry, I'm getting tongue-tied this far into the show. We had Timothy Pensack finishing in fourth in super production, 10th outright, and the team of Lachlan O'Sullivan and Scott Putnam, who are previous guests on the Down and Dirty Radio Show, they finished up in 11th outright and 5th in production. So congratulations goes out to your champions this year, Brendan Reeves, David Higgins, you know, just an amazing both of them, you know, and talk about what Rally America needed, you know, the shot in the arm this year. They really needed that shot in the arm to, you know, and they got it. I mean, the national championship, you know, a few points separating first and second, winner-take-all scenario in two classes this year. You can't write a better storyline. So really, I mean, it just, I'm excited for Rally in the United States, you know, not only global going on and we've got some, you know, health regional series, you know, some regional rally cross stepping up. It's just awesome, awesome time to be involved with Rally in the United States and lots of good things to come. Let's hope they can carry the momentum to 2014 because we had two great points battles going into the last round at the Lake Superior Performance Rally in Michigan. Skipping over to the Monster Energy Cup. This is the one we've talked about. I don't know, pretty much all year we like to talk about the Monster Energy Cup. I love this event. You know, it's so different, so dynamic. It bridges not only motocross, supercross, you know, I guess, what do you want to say? Joker Lanes, Global Rallycross involved. It's just such a unique event. And you know, it's almost like, you know, enduro as well. The tracks are so long. I don't know. It's just very, very cool. You know, the entry list is always a star-studded cast, and this is where you get the 250 guys step up to 450 bikes to see how they do. And, you know, with a split start and everybody, you know, merging in together, it just makes it interesting. But anyways, you know, they run three heats. In order to get the, quote, monster million that we all talk about, you have to win all three heats. Only one guy in history's done it. It was Ryan Villopoto a couple of years ago. Last year we had multiple winners, and Villopoto got knocked out, you know, I believe the second round after winning the first. So, you know, it's tough to win all three, and this year proved to be the same. Official results for the first heat: Villopoto the second, Marvin Musquin, or Villopoto was the winner. Marvin Musquin finished up in second. Great showing by him, stepping up to the 450s. We had Jake Weimer third, Kenny Roczen, Eli Tomac, and Dungy rounding out your top six. Looked like, too, I guess Dungy finished in first in the first heat, but didn't take the Joker. He got knocked down to six. That's why he finished in six. Okay, second heat. Second heap, I'm getting tongue-tied here. We had James Stewart taking the win in the second heat. Villopoto went down when he was in the lead. I've heard all kinds of reports on why that was and this and that and, you know, and the other. So we're not going to get into to the back storylines. But anyways, officially, James Stewart won that race. Justin Barcia took second. Ryan Dungy third. Kenny Roczen, Dean Wilson, Tomac, and then Cole Seeley rounding out your top 10 results. Third heat, just make note, Villopoto was okay. He walked away. He didn't come back for the final moto. So we go into the third heat. We go into the third heat, and James Stewart won again. Ryan Dungy took second. Tomac third. Roczen fourth. Then Seeley, Wilson, Grant, Musquin, Tickle, and Short. And so that means that James Stewart is your 2013 Monster Energy Cup champion. He got an eight, a first, and a first. Second went to Dungy, who got a sixth, a third, and a second. And third went to Roczen, 4-4-4. And then we had Tomac with a 4-6 and a third. So James Stewart winning two out of three. If he would have had a little better result in the first, it could have been a major victory for him. And $1 million, but he's got to sell it for $100,000, and I'm sure James Bubba Stewart is very happy with that. You know, he's had an up and down year with Supercross and Motocross. You know, showed times of brilliance, but it looks like he finally put it together here at the Monster Energy Cup. Kind of excited to see him back on his A game. So congratulations goes out to Stewart for his $100,000 payday and being the Monster Energy Cup champion. So another wild night at the Monster Energy Cup, that's for sure. This is obviously probably the biggest and best Monster Energy Cup yet. They just keep getting bigger and bigger. It's just amazing what they've been able to do with that event. And being that it's no points, I mean, you get the best of the best come out and run it. Upcoming events, we got Lucas Oil from Lake Elsinore this weekend. This is the big one. They're crowning champions, and they got the big cup race. And don't forget, it's going to be live on MAV TV. So LucasOilOffroad.com will have all your information, but the cup race will be aired live on MAV TV, a first for the Lucas Oil Off-Road Series. So check out all your local listings, and you're going to want to watch that live this weekend. We've got Global Rallycross coming up from Las Vegas here in just a few short weeks. Get your tickets, globalrallycrosstickets.com. We've got the Best in the Desert Henderson race coming up the 1st of December. Pro Rally Championship, a few rounds left there. And we've got the Baja 1000, the big one, in November coming up. And we're going to have lots of information on that. Give us a follow on social media at JimBeaver15, Instagram and Twitter, Facebook.com/Dirty Show. And a big thanks goes out to Speed Energy, the Arizona Ford dealers, Racetech Seats. Follow them online, racetech-usa.com. Blue Water Resort and Casino. Get your tickets for Cage Rage. UPR.com. Some of the best deals on safety equipment in the industry. AC Highlights. And I got to give a big shout out to Dave Mira. Jeff Hancock, Jeanette Ewan, and Damon from Rigid Industries. It's been a great show, slam-packed show. And next week we got a few huge guests lining up. You're definitely going to want to be here for that. And be on the lookout for those guest announcements because we're shaping up for another big, big show. Thanks to all of you for listening in and making us the number one off-road and action motorsports radio show in the world. We see you next week.